Everyone, welcome to you who are visiting with us, or at least who are joining us online. We're so glad to have you. I'm John Tyson. I'm one of the pastors. I am honored to be here and privileged to be able to share with you the Word of God. We have an opportunity together as a body, virtually and also in person, to look into God's Word and to hear what God has to share with us in hopes that we will apply it to our lives, though. And this is a wonderful chapter. A long chapter, but it is a wonderful chapter about a story that's quite familiar for all of us. We're going to be talking about how to kill giants, giant killers. Isn't that so appropriate for Fellowship Bible Church? I mean, that's just how we are. We just want to talk about killing. No, but from a serious standpoint, though, we want to talk about something that's really an issue for everybody. It surely is, though. And we want to talk about the giants that are in our lives, though. So we are part of, this is the first of three series where we're looking at the life of David. And this one here is titled, Age Doesn't Matter. And so we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 17. There are 58 verses there, and so we're going to go through and to look at them in one way or another, even read through them, though. There's a lot of good information in there for us all in that we can honor the Lord in this way, though. Giants. So, how can we give to you a definition of what a giant or giants are, what that is? Giants can be defined as some situation, circumstance, pain, or problem that looms large. You know, it's that one thing that is overwhelming. It is something that intimidates you. You know, when you think of it, when you look at it, and you have to deal with it, it then produces emotional insecurities. When you look at chapter 17, verses 8 and verses 14, you'll find in there that it says, when they saw Goliath, they trembled in fear. Now, giants there, it's a problem that dominates your life. It comes out daily in full battle array, and then it dares you to try to stand against it. It's an impressive foe. You know, you feel powerless against this mighty monster. It taunts you. It holds you captive. You know, you feel powerless. These giants hinder the progress of God's people and the purpose for which he's called them. You know, they rob them of the joy that they have in the Lord. When we see all kinds of giants here, we find them this way. Some of the giants that you may be facing are the giants that are emotional, you know, like worry, like doubt and fear or anxiety. Some of you are facing mental giants like stress and insecurity, even depression. And some of you may be facing physical giants like disease and pain and even disabilities. Some of you, the Goliath, the giant, may be a bad habit. It may be an addiction. For some of you, it could be a problem at work, or it could be a financial problem that not only won't go away, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And we can defeat all of these giants when we face them in the name of the Lord. If we don't conquer our giants, they will not only destroy us, but they're going to wreak havoc on us all the way up to that point. So, how can we defeat these giants so that we can live in freedom and victory and joy in the Lord's service? Well, there's a well-known story here, the story of David and Goliath, that will give us some of those clues. David and Goliath is a story that I heard of when I was real little. It was something that we talked about at the church, and I really looked forward to hearing the story of David and Goliath. And emotionally, I was all over the place, though, but it was just a wonderful story. I'll tell you something that's quite interesting. I've gone on a missions trip to a country where it was over 90% Islam. And we got a chance to visit one of the Islamic schools, and you'll never guess what one of the stories was that they talked about in that school. It's known all over. It's been known for so many years, though. It's a story that's filled with instructive contrast. You know, it's like this. Saul and his armies of Israel were viewing this situation from a human perspective, while David was viewing things from God's perspective. You know, Saul had confidence in his armor. David had confidence in his God. You know, Saul was concerned about his own image, but David was concerned with the honor of God. And so from David, here's what we're going to learn. And we'll look at things from this perspective here. We're going to learn that the way to kill giants in life is we need a spiritual perspective, a practical faith, and a deliberate focus on God's glory. Join me in prayer, if you will. Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you. Lord, we give you praise because you are a great God. We come before you now, Lord, as we look into your word, and we ask for your help. Ask, Lord, that you will open our hearts and open our minds so that we can hear what thus says the Lord. And not only that, but that we would have a determined purpose that the truths that we hear, we will apply to our lives, that it, Lord, may bring you glory. Thank you, Lord, for going before us, and thank you for being with us, and thank you for what you will share with us now. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So the first thing I want for us to be able to look at is this here. To defeat the giants in our lives, we need a spiritual perspective. Now, so I'm going to 1 Samuel 17, and I'm going to read portions of the passage there, and then some of them I will just share and explain to you, though. But we'll get through this passage here as long as we're going together and allow God to go before us, and he'll reveal things unto us. So let me read the first four verses here of 1 Samuel 17. Here's what it shares. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Socah and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped at the valley of Elah and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, then what he does in the next few verses, the writer goes through and he explains some detail about Goliath. And as he's explaining this detail, with some translations so that you'll know what they're talking about, it brings our attention to the fact that Goliath was just not an ordinary person, but he was a little beyond that. Intimidating. Goliath apparently was somewhere around 9 feet 9 inches tall. He'd be a great NBA basketball player, right? We'd love to have him on our team. Notice here, the coat of mane, the armor of mane that he had on was 5,000 shekels. That's the weight of it, which equals somewhere between 125. And total, he could probably have with the helmet and everything else that he had on armor from head to toe, over 200 pounds of armor that he is wearing. They start to describe the spearhead that's on his spear here, which weighed 15 pounds. How many of you have ever held a shot put before? You had a chance to hold a shot put? That's the equivalent. That's his spearhead there. He was covered from head to toe and had a shield carrier in front of him. I think this is, to me, it's kind of funny, though, because the shield carrier carried a shield that is in size equivalent to a full-grown man. That's how big that shield is. And so 9-foot giant stands behind this shield that comes only so far and someone underneath that's smaller that's holding it for him. The writer evidently here wanted to impress Goliath's awesome power and apparent invulnerability on the reader so that what we would do is appreciate David's great courage and faith. So notice what Goliath did. So we find out that he is this big in appearance, and so you look at him for the first time and you see this just huge guy. Then he starts to speak. Verses 8 through 11, he shares this. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said this here. He said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day." What is he doing here? He's mocking them. And he's also mocking God. He said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul, and notice what it says right after that, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. No, they weren't slightly offended. They were dismayed. They were afraid. Now notice here, he says, "Give me a man so we can fight." This is what's called a representative battle. The Philistine proposed this battle in which two representative champions, one from Israel and one from Philistia, would duel it out. And that's not uncommon for limiting war in this ancient time in the ancient world. The loser would then become the slaves of the winner's people. You see, Goliath was a single problem, but he threatened to undo the entire nation of Israel. In a sense, what he was saying is this. He says, "Just send out one fighter, and I'll take him on. I am the champion. I am the greatest." What do you usually do when you hear somebody say that on TV? If you have a remote, we may be changing the channel. We don't want to hear that. But check this out. Verse 16 tells us this challenge went on for 40 days, morning and evening. So well over a month, this is what they heard. And as a result of that, after they heard what he said, guess what they did? They were terrified. But he continued to keep coming after them, time after time. Now, in regards to submission and obedience, there are portion of scripture here that tells us that David here was between Bethlehem serving, tending sheep and serving Saul as an armor bearer. Pastor Eric had shared this with us last week, though. Now, as he's tending sheep there at the home, Jesse, who is David's father, is up in age. He's a little bit older. He wants for David to run an errand. He wanted for David to take to his brothers who were in the Israel army, his three oldest brothers, some refreshments. Wanted to make sure that they were all right and let them know that Dad was thinking about him. Dad was concerned about him. And so David arose early that next morning, and he did what his father had commanded. That's an act of respect, an act of submission. He did exactly what his father told him to do. So he goes, and so he delivers it, and he sees his brother. And, you know, Bethlehem, to where the battle was taking place, was about 15 miles. But he was determined to do what his dad wanted for him to do. And that's what he did. And so he gathered with them. And in verses 23 through 25, as he talked with them, talking with his brothers, "Behold, the champion." Here it is, specifying again. "The Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him." So it goes on to say that all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him, and they were much afraid. The men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come to defy Israel." Now, anyone in Israel who could come close to being this person that would battle Goliath, one was a head taller than everyone else. He was already serving in a position of king, and so he naturally could have come to the front. But instead, we see him sitting in the back. He's coming to the back. There's something else here that we have to see. He also brought forth this incentive. He said he'd offer a reward for defeating Goliath, for killing Goliath. He said the person who would kill him would receive great riches, that the victor's family would be tax-free in Israel, and that they would receive his daughter in marriage. Now, in these passages also, we notice that David continues to ask this question. He is asking them several times to make sure he understood what the victor would receive, what the victor would receive. I think it's quite interesting, though, that when he goes through and he continues to ask this question here, he already knows what the task is at hand because David is walking by faith. Now, when we get to verse 28 through 30, here's something that's quite interesting. This is an interesting encounter. It says, now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? See, he's talking down to him. He's not really talking nicely to him at this time. I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Was it now but a word? And he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way. And the people answered him again as before. I want you to notice something here. David knows at this time who to fight and who to leave alone. Sometimes we need to choose our battles wisely. We end up turning in a circle and battling one another instead of fulfilling the purpose that God has before us. From a human perspective, Goliath was a formidable enemy. But that's precisely the problem. See, Saul and his soldiers were viewing the situation with Goliath from a human perspective. Have you seen this man? They were allowing a worldly viewpoint of Goliath to go unchallenged. Am I not the Philistine and you, servants of Saul? What was that, right? Yes, it was, but from a human perspective. But David saw things from God's perspective, and he challenged what Goliath said. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? Did you catch that different perspective there? You know, he isn't just the Philistine. No, he is the uncircumcised Philistine. And the Israelites are not just the servants of Saul. No, they are the armies of the living God. To be circumcised was to be outside of the Abrahamic covenant and the promised blessings of God. God wanted his covenant people to be pure and holy, set apart unto him. Then when David called Goliath an uncircumcised Philistine, he was saying, hey, you guys, this guy is an immoral pagan who is outside of the covenant promises of God. And he has taunted the armies of the living God. See, David had the spiritual perspective on the problem. David was looking beyond what the Israelite army was seeing in Goliath. See, this is David's spiritual perspective. Saul and the armies of Israel were afraid because they saw that there was a conflict between their puny muscles and Goliath's mighty muscles, of their little weapons against Goliath's impressive weapons, of their experience in warfare and Goliath's experience. But David here saw it as a conflict between God and the forces of evil. Saul and his men saw Goliath and thought, phew, he's so big, we can never kill him. But the way David saw it is, he saw the same man and he said, he is so big, I can't miss. That changes the nature of the battle. You know, we must understand what we're looking for will affect what we see. And as we look at 2 Corinthians 4:18, it shares us with us this. It says, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Scripture will help us to look beyond what we see. And if you want to conquer some giants or Goliaths in your life, you must begin by calling it what God calls it. You will not conquer it if you do not see things from God's perspective. Whatever the problem, if you want to conquer it, the first step is always to do what David did here. Namely, to call it what God calls it and to call yourself what God calls you. You see, this problem is not a Philistine champion. It's an uncircumcised Philistine. It's an offense to the living God. I'm not just a servant of Saul. I'm a member of the army of the living God. You know, I've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, and the battle is his. And that's the starting point for victory. Amen? Point number two, to kill the giants in life, we need a practical faith in the living God. Notice here verses 31 through 33. These words were repeated to Saul, and he sent for David. And David told him, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. See, David didn't have faith in faith itself. David believed in the living God, who was in a covenant relationship with his people. David not only had faith in the Lord, he also had faith in the Lord in him in this difficult and challenging situation. David didn't say, well, trust the Lord, Saul, and good luck to you. No, he said, your servant will go and fight this Philistine. Faith like this is active. It's aggressive. It goes out after the problem, and then it takes it on. Note something else about David's faith. This is the kind of faith that we need. We need a faith that's rooted in personal experience. You see, this wasn't David's first outing in the school of faith. Even though he was a teenager, he had proved God in his own experience. You know, when the lion and the bear had taken one of his sheep, hey, he went after those beasts. He grabbed them by the beard and he killed them. He only spoke of the incident here to convince Saul, though, that he could beat Goliath, and he was careful to attribute the victory to the Lord in whom he had consciously trusted in. That's where his trust was. Saul should have had that kind of faith. You know, he'd seen God provide victories in many wars that he was a part of not too long ago. My question to you is, do you have that kind of personal, practical faith in the living God, which David had? It means that that lion or that bear or that giant that comes into your life, instead of tolerating it, you recognize that you can't allow it to have its way in your life. You can't live in peaceful coexistence with it. What you have to do is this, though. You got to confront it and cut it off. Because either you will destroy it or it will destroy you. And as you learn to confront the giants in your life, you gain an experiential, a practical, a personal faith that enables you to kill those giants that are before you. And second, we need a faith in the living God himself, not in human methods. David's faith was in the living God. After Saul says this, may the Lord be with you, what did he do? He showed him where his trust really lies. Then he gives David his armor. got to make sure that we're not following Saul's way of believing. You know, you fight the enemy with all of the latest worldly techniques and methods, with some religious cliches that are tacked on to make it sound spiritual, you know, and many Christians today, we face giants in our lives, and the Bible tells us how to deal with them. Praise the Lord. But instead of turning to the Bible, which shows us how to trust in the living God, we turn to the wisdom of the world with some Bible verse that's thrown in to make it sound spiritual. David gets this armor, though, and he can't move. He's never tested it. So he takes it off. And then note here in verse 40, he uses a different method. 5 smooth stones and a shepherd's sling plus his stick. So in verse 41, when Goliath approached David, then he saw that he was young, handsome in appearance, that he had no battle scars, and he was not a warrior at all. His response then was he disdained him, mocked him, cast him down. But the method David used was consistent with his faith in the living God and the glory and power of God. You see, David didn't magnify his sling or his own expertise, but rather he magnified the Lord, that this assembly, in verse 45, may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear. And please understand, there's nothing wrong with methods, as long as your trust is truly in the living God and not in your methods. And as long as the method does not detract from the Lord's glory and power. You know, the way to conquer that giant in your life is not by some of the latest methods, but it's by a genuine trust in the living God. Faith always honors God, not methods. And God always honors faith, not methods. So let our total dependence be on God alone. And let us build up our life on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Our part is surrendering our life totally in the hand of Almighty God and totally depending on His deliverance. God will protect us. God will fight our battles for us. God will give us the victory for His glory. The safest place for your life to be is in the hands of a living God. He knows you. He understands you. He will guard you. He will keep you. You know, another thing that I want for us to look at also. So often when we're facing our giants, one of the things we forget to do is we forget to remember. Have to remember what God has been doing in our lives, though. So we forget what we ought to remember sometimes, and then we remember the things that we should forget. You know, we'll remember our defeats, but then we'll forget our victories. Most of us can recite the failures of our lives in vivid detail, but we don't even remember the specific victories God has pulled off in our past. We need to keep track of all of those things that God has done. And notice what David did with Goliath's armor. After he defeated him and he was headed back home, he brought his head to Jerusalem and put his armor in his tent. So anytime he goes to that tent, and just think, if there was some time that he wasn't feeling real well and he had a tough day and everybody seemed to be against him and he went into that tent, he could cast his eye on that armor that's right over there and he can remember, what a mighty God I serve, He will deliver. And so for you and for me, we may not have Goliath's armor in our tents, but we have things that we have made it through because of God, His power being in us. And those are the things that you and I must remember. We got to continue to remember. Us to kill the giants in our lives, we need a spiritual perspective. We need a practical faith in the living God, but we also need a deliberate focus on God's glory. and not our own. So when we're looking at here in verses 45 through 51, David said to this Philistine, "You come to me with the sword and with the spear and with the javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand." Now see, that's faith talk there. Because what David has said there is not a probability that we will be delivered. He didn't say we might be delivered. He said, no, no, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the fields, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with spear or not with sword. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. See, when David heard Goliath's taunts, he didn't think about himself. No, he was concerned about God's glory. God's name was bound up with his people as long as this uncircumcised Philistine taunted God's people. God himself, in a sense, was being taunted. So David here was moved with righteous indignation because God's honor was being dragged through the mud. Saul was more concerned for his own glory than for the Lord's glory. And you saw that outwardly. He practiced religion so it could look good in appearance. But his real motive was just for his own honor. And that brings up to us important questions. Now, why do you want to conquer the giants in your life? Do you want to overcome your problems so that you'll be successful and happy? Do you want to overcome your problems so that people will look up to you and think that you are a good Christian? Do you want to overcome your problems so that you can build a large ministry and become a well-known, great Christian leader? If that's the reason, you have the wrong motive. David publicly states why he wanted to defeat Goliath. Verses 46 and 47. First, so that all the earth, so that the pagans may know that there is a God in Israel. You know, he wanted unbelievers to see that God is real and that he is mighty to save those who trust in him. And second, David wanted all the professing believers who weren't really trusting in God, that is, this assembly, to know that the Lord does not deliver by the latest methods, but rather the battle is the Lord's. This chapter here finishes by Saul asking, "Whose son is this youth?" Notice here that Saul is observing David. Although he's young, although he's handsome, he's showing signs of being a warrior already. And even though he has led a great victory over the Philistines, David is still showing humility. Last thing he shares with them in this chapter is, "I am the son of your servant, Jesse, the Bethlehemite." You know, he knows who won the battle. Remember, the battle belongs to God. You know, God was with David. God fought the battle for David so he could defeat Goliath the giant. God will fight our battles for us. For those of us who are followers of Christ, one of the things that you and I have to remember is this: as you encounter your giants, the way you respond to that encounter is going to be observed by others. Others are watching you. The same David who told King Saul not to worry is the same David who writes in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall." We always have to remember that we're going to face the giants in the name of the Lord. And the reason we ought to desire to defeat the Goliaths in our lives is that anything that doesn't agree with God will drag God's honor through the mud. And we want God's name to be lifted up and honored through us. See, we should want people who are not following Christ to see how God helped us conquer overwhelming problems through trusting in him so that they too will put their trust in him. We should want other believers who are locked into a human perspective, who really aren't trusting God, and who are living to promote themselves rather than God, to see by our lives how God himself will work on behalf of those who trust in him and seek his glory. See, then they too will trust in the Lord, and he will be all the more glorified through them. One of the favorite verses of Pastor Eric that he shared with us a lot of times is Psalm 115:1, which says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. For the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness." So do you have the faith that it takes to stand against the giant? Are you willing to trust God instead of your own abilities? Are you willing to walk by faith and not by sight? Are you willing to fight every giant in the name of the Lord? I'd like for us to take a look at the next steps as we come to a close of our message. But before we do, you will find that a lot of this information, we have an online connection card. And if you're joining in with us online, you can also go here too, and you can fill out the information that's there. And you will find also that these next steps are included in there too. So we want you to fill out the information in the connection card and be sure to turn it in. But if you need to also, take a picture of the QR code up here and also fill out that information online. Next steps, step number one, I will rely on my own strength and reasoning. You know, to rely on your own strength and your own reasoning could be a giant in itself for you. So we have to deal with that. We have to submit to the Lord. Number two, I will turn over the giants that haunt me to God. And how am I able to do that? I take his word, the truth that's contained in his word, and I apply it to my life. And so every one of those giants that I face that comes to me, I apply the word of God to it. I see it from through God's word and his truth. And I deal with it in that manner, in that way. And then finally, I will tell the world that God is mighty to save. He fights our battles. And that is a testimony, that is a story that you and I can share on a daily basis, because people are facing giants every day, and they need to know how to not only deal with those giants, but to rid themselves of those giants, to kill those giants. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, you have one of the greatest messages that you can share that will help them and continue to help you. The good news that Jesus loves us. He sacrificed himself on the cross that we might be one with God the Father. And then we all have a commonality as we are joined in together. And that's good news to others around the corner and around the world. And they need to know. Now, this is a story that we've heard so many times, though. And there's just so much that's contained in what we've seen so far. So I hope that what you will do is you'll go home and you'll read through 1 Samuel 17. Take a look at David. We're going to get a chance to see David in so many ways in the weeks that are to come. I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. And I hope you are too. God bless you. Let's all stand together.